Bruce Pratt's in studio with his Sports Lit 101 time. But before we get to this week's book, you got exciting news from the ski world.
Yeah, it's this Saturday out at Sunday River at Grand Hotel there, they're having the induction of this class of the Maine Ski Hall of Fame, and it is an incredibly impressive group. And I just want to highlight quickly three of the guys. Bangor's own Karen Hunter, you might have known her when she was younger. She's now Karen Hunter Korn. Dad is Phil Hunter, gastroenterologist, now retired. Mother Mary, two of the sweetest people on the planet, who was on three world championship freestyle teams, five podiums, 12 top five finishes, and 28 top 10 finishes. That's a hell of a good career. Chip Cochran, originally from Greenville, a longtime member of the U.S. ski team, a speed event specialist, coach of Bodie Miller, Kirsten Clark, and Forrest Carey afterwards, still coaching CVA. My good friend Bruce Miles, and nobody in the state of Maine deserves more credit for what they've done for skiing than Bruce, and he's done it all, almost all of it as a volunteer. Coach Julie Prezian built the new Sugarloaf Competition Center, which is just fabulous, out of his dream, and I'm not saying he built it, but President's Ski Club, great. A lot of other people coming in. It's Maine should be very proud because it's not easy to get into the Maine Ski Hall of Fame. And if you're in it, you're serious because skiing is serious here. So I just wanted to give a shout out to those guys.
Very cool. What do you have for a book this week?
Well, we're going to go to baseball in the 60s. This is a cool book. Now, every once in a while, I'll caution people and say a book is a little on the college professor side. Not this one. This is a totally enjoyable book for anybody who likes history and who likes baseball, and it's filled with the kind of anecdotes that make you laugh, that make you feel good. I mean, there are the heartbreaking moments, but it's not a book that is mired in too much of what was going wrong at the time. It's an elegant forward by Bob Costas. You know what a class act the guy is. We know what a skilled broadcaster, but boy, he can write too. Really a wonderfully nice forward to the book. And it's full of amazing stories. Things I didn't know, like President Kennedy, while he was campaigning, calling up Mudcat Grant and saying, I want to have breakfast with you because I want to know about what it's like. What are you guys really fighting? What is it for Negro ball players? And then Grant to tell this just heartrending story of his name being basically a racial taunt and how hard it was for him coming up. A lot of intersection of major events, their effect on American culture and how they collided with baseball. So obviously we have the whole Curt Flood saga explained it at some length. A lot about the great difficulties of integrating baseball, and probably my favorite story, and I'll just outline it quickly. You have to read to the end of the book to get it, but in a spring training game, to show you how far baseball had come, this was 1973, Danny Murtaugh's Pirates, who were the first team to start an all non-white nine, and that was five Latin players and four African-American players. He had tried to do that when he was a minor league manager, just sent his lineup out, and the local Chamber of Commerce said he couldn't do that. So they had to put Bill Mazeroski, who was a minor leaguer at the time in the Pirates system, on the field so there was one white guy starting. What becomes really funny is years later, that same lineup, or not that same lineup, but a lineup like that where Mazeroski is the only white player on the field in a spring training game, Curt Flood comes up to bat, looks out, surveys the field, points at Mazeroski and goes, oh, Jackie Robinson. So you learn a lot about how ball players really, for the most part, just really wanted to get along with one another. They were far more interested in winning. It's a long chapter, not long, but one of the longer chapters has to do with Bowie Kuhn and Jim Boughton and Balfour and the end of the Mickey Mantle myth. And it's really interesting to learn about how many sports writers, whom I might have once had some respect for, like Dick Young and Cannon, and some of those guys, were in the pocket of the owners and in the pocket of the commissioner's office, and how this young group, George Vesey and Schechter and guys who now are either old dogs or have left us, were known as the chipmunks. They were the new kind of journalists, and they would print what they thought they wanted to print. They would hang out with ball players, but they would tell them ahead of time, if you want to hang out with me, don't tell me anything you don't want me to know. And they were much more about It's a time when baseball writing really emerged from the, from sort of the what I call the phony writing of the 40s and 50s, which is not all sports writers, and don't get me wrong there, but guys who just gilded the lily and towed the line and wouldn't say anything controversial, to guys who really began to look at the way baseball was run and how baseball players were being treated as commodities and as chattel. And the whole, there's a lot about how Marvin Miller became involved and what an impressive figure he is, the more you read about him.
And a guy who belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. There ought to be a wing for him in the Baseball Hall of Fame. What I think is interesting, this is written by two writers, Jim Florio and Wheezy Shapiro, and they both have quite a pedigree as sports writers, but you can't tell when the when one voice takes over. And when you think about it, the book starts essentially in 1959 and ends essentially in 1969. I know it at different times flashes forward and back. But think about that. In 1959, the president was Dwight David Eisenhower. We have Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon in that 10-year span. And the interesting thing about that is, in both cases, the second one of those presidents was the vice president of the first one. And in both cases, the president didn't like the vice president. Kennedy was not fond of Johnson, as we well know, and Eisenhower detested Nixon. So it's really really interesting. And then you get how that those politics playing with Jackie Robinson and some of the baseball players who originally started out being Nixon guys. And then when Nixon gave Strom Thurmond veto power on his vice president, they sort of walked away. It does a great job of reminding those of us who were alive then how all these events lined up.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned 1959, and that's the year the Red Sox became the last team in Major League Baseball to integrate, and then a decade later, Curt Flood is out there taking on the reserve clause.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's amazing also to look at some of these guys. Walter O'Malley, not a good guy. Really not a good guy. I mean, we already know that about Tom Yawkey and some of these guys, but what's really interesting is how long it took for the players who should have all along had the power to be able to get on an even footing. Now, people may argue that you know, players' salaries are out of line, blah, 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 this and that. But let me tell you something. Billionaires don't pay more than they have. So, you know, what it is now is that the days of a Bill Veeck, a regular guy being able to afford a baseball team are over. And boy, the more I read about him, and this is probably the 10th book we've talked about that Veeck's been mentioning, the more I admire that guy. He really deserves to be lionized by people. He was a good man with a good heart and a great vision. But it's a great book, One Nation Under Baseball, How the 1960s Collided with the National Pastime, Florio and Shapiro, forward by Bob Costas. And it comes to us from our friends at the University of Nebraska Press. Get this if you have a sports fan and you're thinking holiday, One Nation Under Baseball is a good book. They'll like that.
Outstanding. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.